It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's summer, a time of year for barbecues, beaches, and blockbuster movies. Here to preview some of them for us is Pittsburgh Post-Gazette movie reviewer and acclaimed author Barry Paris. Barry, so good to see you again. Welcome back.
Paul. Thank you very much. I love the word acclaimed. More acclaimed is The Lone Ranger.
Right. The Lone Ranger opens next week, just in time for the 4th of July holiday. There was controversy over the last release of a Lone Ranger movie about 30 years ago when the producers prevented aging actor Clayton Moore, who starred as the Lone Ranger on film and television decades prior, from appearing in public wearing the Lone Ranger's mask. Any controversy with this film?
Quite a bit, but of course in those days, the main controversy was that they didn't want him to appear with an aluminum walker, which he pretty much would have had to.
Talking about Clayton Moore.
Johnny Depp doesn't have that problem.
He's also not playing the Lone Ranger.
That's right, which is the real stunning thing, because initially everybody thought he would, and I think including the studio, but typically he made the controversial decision to do Tonto and let somebody else, namely Arnie Hammer, do the title role, which typically is, of course, the leading role. And this is a shocking decision, but of course it meant that the world was waiting to see his latest transformation, you know, to see if it could live up to all of the incredible parts that he's done in the past, everything from Edward Scissorhands and Ed Wood and Jack Sparrow and up and down the line. So that what he had to do, though, in order to make this impact was to have the transformation be spectacular. And I think when you see the film and when the public does, you'll be amazed. I mean, he has this astounding white face war paint, and not to mention a bird on his head for the entire length of the movie. I mean, so much of his head and face are under makeup as to be almost unrecognizable.
Why do you suppose the studio didn't decide to go with a Native American actor? In the old days, Jay Silverheels, who was in fact part Indian, played Tonto. And those were the days when a lot of times you would have a white actor put dark paint on his face and play the role of an Indian, which offended many Native Americans. So why would this be green-lighted in 2013?
Two-word answer, and the answer is Johnny Depp. If this is what Johnny Depp wants to do, or prefers to do Tonto to the LR himself, the Lone Ranger, that's what they're going to do, because that's where the zillion-dollar bucks are at the box office. And also, even though it does sound politically incorrect, and it is in terms of having a white guy play the Native American iconic role, well, that's what people are going to come to the movie to see. And it's also outrageous, which is typical of Johnny Depp's career. Even better for publicity. It gives the makers of the movie the chance to be politically correct or more correct in how they structure the film, which they've tried to do in the script by references to the genocide against Native Americans in that period.
So is the movie any good?
The movie is very good. It is extremely entertaining. It is also, there's not a single believable moment in it. There's nothing that happens in it that could, would, should, or might happen in reality, let alone even in the, you know, the Lone Ranger legend from the TV shows, which, of course, we all grew up on.
So the Lone Ranger opening just in time again for the 4th of July, a week from today on July 3rd.
From the time of Alexander the Great, no man could travel faster than the horse that carried him. Not anymore. Imagine. Time and space under the mastery of man. Power that makes emperors and kings look like fools. Whoever controls this controls the future.
There come a time, King Wasabi, when good men must wear masks.
Meanwhile, White House Down opens this Friday, another one of these apocalypse movies.
Hey, can I show you something?
These are White House passes.
Your dad here has a job interview with the Secret Service.
No way. This is really cool.
Your just tuning in, we are going to breaking news out of Washington.
This is John Cale. I'm in the White House.
They've taken the building and they're holding hostages,
including my daughter.
Alpha One, do you have the target? Roger that. We're holding the president in the library.
Help is not coming. You just need to get out of there.
Isn't that genre getting a little worn out?
Not only is the genre getting worn out, but the very specific nature of that movie is getting worn out, because White House Down sounds an awful lot like Olympus Has Fallen. Didn't we just have this movie a little while ago? And not to mention Independence Day. They figure one good White House Down deserves another. And this is a popular notion, the idea of the White House under threat, and that actually demonstrates the real disastrous potential of the sequester. And you were wondering how we could relate current events to this. But it's that cancellation of the public White House tours, because in the movie, the whole point or the whole story is based on the fact that Channing Tatum, he's a cop in D.C., he's taking his little girl on a tour of the White House when this crazy group of terrorists invades and takes everybody, including the president, who's Jamie Foxx, hostage. So we have to go through this again, and we do, but the mayhem here and the special effects are really cheerful. They're much more interesting than Aaron Eckhart was in the Olympus movie, and the best line in the movie is that during one of the pursuits in the presidential limo, Tatum hands the president, Jamie Foxx, a shoulder rocket launcher, and he says, "I know you're into peace and all that, but you got to stick this thing out the window and go to work."
This is the movie where we see the Capitol blow in the trailer getting blown up. Yeah,
and the White House pretty much and everything, and they're all saved in the end, of course. It's again, completely preposterous, but as just sheer absurd escapist fantasy is concerned, it's a hoot.
Speaking of which, World War Z is another movie that is certainly of an escapist nature. It's another zombie movie.
How do we know they're coming?
They're coming. Ready?
Go, go, go!
It's the same worldwide. Is anyone doing better than we are?
We've lost the East Coast. Moscow's still dark. Life as we know it will come to an end in 90 days.
It's on us to change that.
I can't leave my family.
Don't pretend your family is exempt. When we talk about the end of humanity,
I don't want to leave you. I have to go.
I'll keep our kids safe.
There's a memo sent from this installation.
Pretty obvious nobody back home bothered to read it.
If I could get into Russia, where would I start?
Russia's a black hole.
I need answers.
Guns are half measure.
You with the CIA?
Well, they're not with me.
Karen.
Is there anything left out there?
If we knew where this thing started, then maybe we could kill it.
I think these things have a weakness.
Every human being we save
is
one less to fight.
Aren't these getting a little old?
Well, not just getting. I mean, they're like over there. They're older than I am. They're old enough for Medicare, Medicaid, and everything beyond that. Yeah, this is the one in which Brad Pitt plays the UN guy who he's a troubleshooter for the UN, and boy, does he have some really serious trouble to shoot in this movie, because there is an epidemic of zombies attacking and destroying the world, cities, countries, and perhaps even humanity itself. So these aren't just like nice little slow George Romero kind of zombies. Like in Night of the Living Dead, these are really fast and furious little buggers.
The 28 days later kind of zombies.
Yeah, oh, even faster, even worse. The movie is completely ridiculous, again, as most of these summer, violent fantasy crazed things are, but that's what people go to.
Does it work, though? Does it work in the, you know, when George Romero made Night of the Living Dead? I mean, we're still talking about it 45 years later, and not just because it was made in Pittsburgh, but because it was a good movie. So bottom line, does World War Z work on screen?
Depends on how you define work. The really honest answer is no, it doesn't work for 2 seconds as any kind of realistic or believable movie. As sheer crazy entertainment, it works if the crowd is yelling at the screen all the time, as they were during the preview. And if you judge the box office as an element of what works. So it works in that sense. There's even a hint of a new movie that along these lines, it's going to combine George Romero and Shakespeare. Believe it or not, it's going to be called Twelfth Night of the Living Dead.
No, brother.
No, that's not true. That's
yeah. Really not. Speaking of Shakespeare, there is a movie out, Much Ado About Nothing. Describe this particular take on the Shakespeare classic.
Thank you for asking. It is, all I can say is, without any tongue-in-cheek, it is a terrific movie, a terrific rendering of Shakespeare, a terrifically entertaining piece in itself, a superb conceptualization of making Shakespeare available to 21st century people instead of 16th, 17th century, retelling of the comedy about the lovers, Benedict and Beatrice, and their funky, different approaches to romance. And the director behind it is Joss Whedon. The movie was filmed entirely at his home in Santa Monica without any pretense of scenery, sets, or anything that have anything to do with Shakespeare. And all else I can tell you is that snorkeling is involved in the movie.
Something Shakespeare probably hadn't envisioned.
Yeah, I don't know that he had a lot of snorkeling experience, Shakespeare. If he did, he didn't include it in the sonnets. I know that much. But he did have the immortal sonnet, my favorite of all, which is in the film, which is, "Sigh no more, ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. 1 foot in sea and 1 on shore. To 1 thing constant, never."
Barry Paris reviews movies for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and joined us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Barry, we're out of time, but thank you so much for being with us. As always, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care.
And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. We welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH@WESA.FM. You can catch the entire show at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This is 90.5 WESA, Pittsburgh's NPR news station.